forms. These are the statements all too many of us have had to make when we fill out a form summarizing exactly what happened in an accident. I thought you might enjoy hearing some of the more imaginative ones. There is, for example, the man who explained, "Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have." Or the fellow who wrote, "I thought my window was down, but found out it was up when I put my hand through it." This one should give you something to think about. "I collided with a stationary truck coming the other way." Another fellow said, "My car was legally parked as it backed into the other vehicle." And, "The telephone pole was approaching fast. I was attempting to swerve out of its path when it struck my front end." Now, you'd think Ralph from Nader would do something about those reckless telephone poles. But just suppose you're an insurance claims adjuster. It's Monday morning, you've had a nice weekend at the beach, and now you sit down at your desk, faced with a stack of reports such as these. "A truck backed through my windshield into my wife's face. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. I was on my way to the doctor's with rear-end trouble when my universal joint gave way, causing me to have an accident. A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. I told the police I wasn't injured, but on removing my hat, I found that I had a skull fracture. The pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran over him." Now, you'll have to admit that shows a certain ability to make quick decisions, just as this next one reveals a compassionate nature. "I saw the slow-moving, sad-faced old gentleman as he bounced off the hood of my car. The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth." Now, this next fella must like to bet on sure things. He reports, "I was sure the old fellow would never make it to the other side of the roadway when I struck him." Here's another one of those telephone poles, only this time the pole isn't to blame. "In my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole." Detroit's going to have to do something about cars that fail to communicate. One victim reports, "The other car collided with mine without giving warning of its intentions." And finally, "I was unable to stop in time and my car crashed into the other vehicle. The driver and passengers then left immediately for a vacation with injuries." Well, my time's up. I'm leaving immediately. Without injuries, I hope. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Well, good afternoon. This is Al Fonzi. Welcome to Sound Off today. Here to talk about whatever's on your mind. Lots of things going on this week. It's been some weeks since I've been here on the air. We had the trial of Daniel Penny, which came out correct, I think. He was acquitted. He never should have been tried in the first place. You've got all kinds of things happening on the border, the illegal immigrants, the president trying to do everything he can to sabotage incoming President Trump, President-elect Trump, and his plans to work with the border. We can talk about that. We can talk about the calculated, premeditated, cowardly murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. That was a real tragedy. The Syrian government fell. That is not necessarily a good thing. And we'll talk more about that. And, of course, there's climate stuff going on. And we can refute some of the climate change hysteria we've heard in the last few weeks. Anyway, Daniel Penny was acquitted. And it was a very politically motivated trial in the first place. And I say this because of some other things that happened. There was a man in New York named Jordan Williams. He and his girlfriend, both of whom were black Americans, were on a Brooklyn subway train when Williams, 20 years old, was approached by a very aggressive 36-year-old ex-convict homeless black man. Got in a confrontation with Williams, and the man, the vagrant, basically punched Williams' girlfriend in the face. Williams then pulled out a knife and stabbed the man in the chest, who then died. He was arrested. Williams was arrested, charged with manslaughter and criminal possession of a weapon. He claimed basically the victim was menacing people, as Mr. Williams and his girlfriend. Obviously, he struck her. And anyway, we'll get back to that. I have a caller. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Al.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, I want to talk about this drone issue.
Sure.
You know something? I've seen one of these things.
Really?
Yes.
It North
was
County?
A number of years ago, and it was here in Paso Robles. One of the things that I have found out in my life is that Camp Roberts is a NATO base. And one of the things they did is they trained on these UAV vehicles. And I have actually seen one of these things. My daughter and my girlfriend saw the lights flying around, and I walked down to Theater Drive right next to Highway 101. I had one come over the top of me.
Excuse me. Are you on speakerphone? Because I'm getting an echo here. It's kind of hard to understand you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm
hard
of
hearing. Hello?
Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
I can now, yeah.
Okay. My point is what I saw was a aerial vehicle with its running lights on, and the descriptions that we're getting on these aerial vehicles back east, it sounds identical to what I saw. So the question is, and this, you know, the NATO was doing, I can tell you a few stories. But my question is, where did they land, or where did they take off from, and where did they land?
Well, those are good questions. I don't know. This morning on the news, on Fox News, they had a manufacturer of commercially available drones. Some of them are like 6-8 feet across, quite large, quite capable of doing quite a bit of stuff from thousands of feet up, right down to the small ones, you know, about the size of a basketball, almost like a toy. They had those out too. What the governments tell him, are telling us right now, these are mostly what we're seeing as aircraft, manned aircraft, legally flying, and people are confusing them for drones. I don't know. They've been spotted in Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. I heard there was a report of one in San Diego today, but I don't know exactly what they are. I think there's more to this than people are saying. I've seen a lot of military drones. I know what the Predators are. They're quite large. They fly thousands of feet.
Yeah,
they can do things from miles away.
I knew you were going to bring this up. One of the things when I saw this thing, I was down, you know, on Theater Drive, and I got a starlight.
Hey, I got to have you talk directly into your phone. I cannot understand you.
You know, my phone's having problems. I'm
there you go. Now I can understand you. Just talk directly into it.
Okay. What amazed me about it was that it was a swept-wing aircraft. It looked like a fast mover. But I
Hello?
Hear it.
Hello? Hello? Yeah, you're dropped out for a second there. I can't hear you.
I don't know what's going on with the phone. Anyway.
Okay, call us back, okay? We're being disconnected back at the studio because we can't get your call through. Anyway, drones are out there. We're not sure what the intentions are, if they are low-flying drones, if they're over restricted areas, that's an issue. You cannot legally shoot one of these things down if it's, in fact, a legal aircraft flying. It's a federal offense. It's a felony. There are minimum mandatory minimum sentences. So don't shoot them down unless they're peeking into your bathroom window and you're taking a shower or something. I don't know why they're out there. I don't know what they're doing. There's all kinds of ways to look at areas and surveil people, places, and things like that to gathering information. You can use small drones with people manning them on site. The rule is if you're manning a drone, the Federal Aviation Administration requires you to maintain line of sight. In other words, you can't have it fly on the other side of a mountain, be flying around near a city or something like that. You've got to see that drone. You've got to know what it's doing. Unless you're a licensed licensed aviation and beyond or military, things like that. So it's hard to say. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones again and see if we can get our caller back. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Al, is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
I got a couple things I want to get off my chest real quick, and I just get your take on it. And it's, it has to do with illegal aliens, and I'm evolving into a like, if I try to be empathetic, there's two things that bug me. One is what I would do if I was them to feed my family, and that scares me. You know how what I anyway. And the other thing is if I came across the border illegally and they handed me all this stuff, gave me a hotel room, I would think these guys are suckers. And I'm going to continue trying to take advantage and bend the rules because that seems to be how you win here. Anyway, I just want to get that off my chest. I don't know if you have a take on that or if I'm crazy or what.
I think a lot of people feel like you do. And there's thousands and thousands of people who've gone through the legal process who literally are waiting in line for years. And I think of this like, you know, you're in a long line at a movie theater or concert or something, and somebody just rushes in and pushes everybody out of the way and takes their place and cuts the line. I think Americans hate that. They really hate that. And that's what this is. You know, we have spent $450 billion on taking care of illegal immigrants into this country. We only spent about $300 million taking care of veterans in this country. So you look at that and you say, wait a minute, what's going on here? The Americans are being shoved out of housing. They're being shoved out of parks. They're literally up in Chicago. They're going into elderly people's homes in black neighborhoods, forcing them out of their house and taking over their homes because they're cold and they've been forced out of shelters. I mean, this is out of control. And then we got our president. What is the president doing right now? Well, he's trying to sabotage incoming President Trump and his operations. He's taking the wall that was paid for, stopped by the Democrats when Biden took office, been laying out there rusting for 4 years. They're now taking all that steel sections of the wall they were trying to build, and they're selling it for scrap for $5 a section. These things cost thousands and thousands of dollars. They're going to sell them at auction. And they're taking him away from the area. And they're doing everything they possibly can to sabotage incoming President Trump and the Department of Homeland Security. And Tom Homan, I think his name, is the new Homeland Security Secretary. He's a former border guy. And he says he's going to arrest politicians that get in his way. I hope he does. I hope he takes them, and he takes them for a federal court, and they send them to a supermax, you know, 1,000 miles away, like they did a lot of those January 6 rioters who got sentenced to very stiff sentences, because this is what they're doing. They have an oath of office to uphold the laws of the land. They are sabotaging, obstructing justice. There's over 1.4 million people who have been adjudicated, gone through the whole process. Judge says, you got to leave. And there's all the criminals that come in, about a million criminals, members of gangs and people like that. It's going to take 4 years just to get all those people out. And they need to do that because nobody has the resources to take care of all these people and assimilate them as fast as they are. And a lot of people in the major cities are very angry, very upset. And these are Democratic voters going to council meetings, board supervisors meetings, said, what are you doing? You know, you're not taking care of us. You're supposed to represent us, not the rest of the world. And I have sympathy for these people, but they keep voting for these socialists down in their countries who are tearing their countries apart and destroying them. Venezuela, case in point, most prosperous country in South America, destroyed. Because they voted for socialists. Anyway, I have other callers waiting. Hope that answers your question, and thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Al. I don't really have a question or any comment. I just would like to hear more about what you think about the drone situation. I think you probably have a lot of knowledge about that kind of thing, and Ali will listen off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Well, all I can tell you, you know, their military uses drones for both reconnaissance, surveillance, targeting, And they also use them. They are, have arm drones out there, predator drones and things like that. They can carry thousands of pounds of ordnance and fire them from great distances away. I mean, you're talking many miles away, many thousands of feet in the air. The ability of cameras, eyes in the sky, to see you and see what you're doing is quite phenomenal compared to what it was, you know, say the Vietnam era 50 years ago. The technology is incredible. And a lot of this now is becoming available off the shelf to small countries. Iran, I'm sure, has them. They're using them in Ukraine, and vice versa. They're arming their drones and using them, and it's pretty devastating, too, the ability to do things to people. But they're there. I can't tell you specifically what's going on. I have not seen any of these drones. I know there's a lot of lights in the sky. I have cousins that live back in these areas. They haven't commented on it. But the reality is that there is a malevolent force. The government's not telling us about it. Right now they're saying these are largely manned aircraft. This is something that people are overreacting to and getting hysterical about it. I don't know. We had those Chinese balloons fly over the entire United States last year, and the government didn't do anything about it. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see. Congress is up in arms, says, tell us what's going on. And probably in the next few weeks we might get an explanation. Anyway, got another caller. I'm going to try to go to the phones again. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, you're mentioning the Chinese balloon just now. I was thinking about that, and if you figure we have between 25 and 40,000 military-aged Chinese in the country, that could have something to do with what's going on. Surveillance, they're flying over a munitions base in New Jersey, you know, and different other military installations. So, you know, I mean, sounds like to me, I don't think anybody's keeping track of these people. You know,
I think you're right. And if they are, they're not telling us. You know, I don't know how much of an air defense system we have left. You know, in the 1950s, we had thousands of aircraft. We had the North American Air Defense Command and fighters on strip alert to scramble and intercept Russian bombers and things like that all the time. The whole northern tier of North America was covered by radar. These things fly low and slow. They're probably hard to see or pick up on radar. They probably have very tiny radar cross-section, and the coverage is not there. You know, we're not looking so much out the East Coast or out the West Coast or in the Gulf Coast. We're looking north because that's where everything was set up, you know, looking for intercontinental ballistic missiles coming over the poles to hit America. And our defenses have been allowed to erode over the last half century. When the end of the Cold War, they were really, really cut back. Very little was here until Russia started flying bombers down our west coast again a few years ago. And China's doing the same thing. So it's built up a little bit. I mean, President George Bush, the second one, was a fighter pilot with North American Air Defense, the Air National Guard, and he used to fly, you know, intercept patrols and things. But I don't know what we've really got. I know that what we used to have is not as, what we have now is not nearly as good as what we used to have. And we have some huge vulnerabilities, gaps in our defenses. And I think the government might be a little bit embarrassed because they don't really have the ability to do much about it. Kind of like 9/11. We scrambled, I think, F-15s or F-16s to go after these planes. They never came in contact with any of the planes that were flying into buildings. It was too late because we weren't really up and running and prepared to do these intercepts. And I think they also sent them the wrong way eventually. But anyway, that's kind of where we're at. I can't tell you exactly what they are because, frankly, I don't know. I just know that they have a lot of capabilities. They're rather disturbing that we've had people are more and more reports of these things, and they're flying in areas they shouldn't, like Picatinny Arsenal in New Jersey, where we manufacture a lot of munitions. I mean, they could be doing some really in-depth aerial surveillance for targeting purposes and getting the grid coordinates.
These guys, they're training. They seem like they're training because they're flying in formations at night, which is not something that you would normally see. And then on the other hand, I was just listening to the noon Fox News, and John Kirby was on there talking to Martha, and he was just dodging all kinds of stuff. And the other thing is, she says he just made him face the fact that they've known about this stuff for a month. They were flying over Langley a month ago. And the other thing is that there was 30 of them following a Coast Guard ship.
I have not heard that. That's interesting.
Yeah, 30 of them. She said that on the news. And it's like, she can't just go and say that kind of stuff. You know, this is it's kind of serious, and they're avoiding all this just like they were that balloon. You know?
Well, if they think they're from Iran, you know, they're trying to do all this stuff to get Iran, you know, appeasement towards Iran, trying to, you know, hand out lots of carrots, trying to persuade them not to continue to build nuclear weapons. But everything I've read says they're going ahead full speed, trying to get highly enriched uranium to build a bomb, and they've got the missiles. So it's ominous. It really is. Where I've got to go stop for a break. Be back shortly. Thank you for your call.
Customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Since 1966, Hammond Overhead Door Company has provided residential garage doors that offer more than just a strong and secure way to close your garage. They also add beauty and value to your home. Hammond Overhead Door has the right garage door to complement your home and your budget. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Carpet's giving you that dirty look? Call North County Carpet Cleaning. Since 1991, family-run business that prides itself on quality work at reasonable prices. Besides carpets, they also specialize in tile and grout cleaning as well as rug shampooing. Does your office need a weekly or bi-weekly cleaning? Commercial and office cleaning as well. For all your cleaning needs, call North County Carpet Cleaning. 805-239-9355. 805-239-9355.
Love barbecue? At Chef Gregory's Barbecue Smokehouse, we're serving award-winning barbecue. Pulled barbecue pork sandwiches, baby back ribs, pork belly, chicken, and more. Right here at Atascadero at 6550 El Camino Real below the clock tower. With over 25 years of world championship barbecue competitions, now you can enjoy that flavor close to home. We also offer catering, cooking classes, and over 30 flavors of peanut brittles. Visit ChefGregory.com to explore all we have to offer. Chef Gregory's Barbecue Smokehouse in Atascadero, where Memphis tradition meets gourmet perfection.
Okay, we're back, and the phone lines are open, 238-5775. You know, lots of interest in drones. I had that on my topics of things to talk about today, but that seems to be the hot topic. But we can talk about anything else you want, too. You know, I don't know what's going on with these drones pretty much any more than you guys do. I know what their capabilities are. I've seen them. I've seen the commercial drones, which can be quite large. I've seen military drones, which are very large, and they have enormous capabilities, and they are ominous. I mean, you can use it. Last caller mentioned a Coast Guard cutter being followed by a swarm of 30 drones. Now, that is disturbing because one of the military tactics our planners talk about and are worried about are swarm attacks against our warships. For instance, you know, we've got a lot of air defense systems, we've got missiles, we've got guns, things like that. But what if you have 20 or 30 targets coming at you at the same time, drones, each one armed with a missile, a bomb of some type? Big ones can carry quite a bit. And they're cheap. They're unmanned. They can be sent in there. We don't handle that well. Coast Guard cutters tend to have maybe one cannon on the front. You know, it's an automatic cannon. It can do something, but they're not designed to work like the Navy is with heavy combat. They have limited air defense capabilities. A lot of them only have a 50 caliber machine gun on them. Why they would target a cutter, I'm not really sure. Unless it was some type of harassment type of exercise. We don't have a very large number of cutters For the most part, Coast Guard's a very small service, about 36,000 men and women. And they mostly deal with, counter drugs and things like that, and patrolling our shores and search and rescue. Those are the big things the Coast Guard does. But anyway, and they're very good at what they do. But there's just not very many of them. They're not, the most modern ships, and they're not heavily armed. So that's disturbing, a swarm attack against one of our vessels. They could do it against our destroyers. They could do it against aircraft carriers. Like one guy said, maybe they're training. I don't know what they're doing. I just know that I don't believe we're getting the full story from our government, and I hope our congressional representatives continue to press for answers and come clean to the American people. If it's a military threat, then tell us. They're saying it's not military and it's not foreign-based. Well, if it's not, how do you know? If you don't know where they're coming from and who's doing it, how do you know they're not foreign-based? And we do have a lot of illegals. We've got 20,000 to 30,000 Chinese men of military age who have come into this country. We have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of young men who've come across our borders, young men of military age, some of whom are on the terrorism watch list. They've come from all over the world. We don't know who's in this country anymore. The government under Joe Biden, under the Democrats, the last 4 years, they have just opened the borders wide, and they came out with numbers this week and said they have admitted more people in the last 4 years than have ever been admitted in American history, including going all the way back to 1850 when large waves of migrants began to come to the shores of America, like in the Irish famine and things like that, mostly European immigrants coming into the country. We have exceeded that. And right now we're having a great deal of trouble assimilating or absorbing these people. We don't have jobs for them. We're not a manufacturing empire like we used to be. We're not a growing country with a continent to populate, cities to build, and industries to erect and things like that. We don't have that anymore. A lot of that's been sent offshore, which is why we have a large hole in the American working class as far as their employment opportunities, because frankly, manufacturers have shipped their jobs out of the country overseas to make things real cheap and then ship them back into the country very cheap to make American products that Americans buy. Like, it's hard to buy clothes that don't have a label made in Vietnam, made in Guatemala, made in China, stuff like that. Because they work for pennies on the dollar, where our people need a living wage to work. They work for a tiny fraction of what we do. And they work long hours with virtually no regulation, no rules to protect the workers or anything else. And that's what American manufacturers have been doing for the last half century. And both political parties are very much involved with this. NAFTA caused a lot of jobs to go to Central and South America. I mean, Ross Perot, when he ran for president when Bill Clinton was running against President Bush, the first Bush, he said that sucking sound you hear is American jobs being sent south. And he was absolutely correct, because that's what happened. The American textile industry in the Northeast and Southeast was destroyed, absolutely devastated by shipping those jobs and all the mills and things where they made clothing up here and down here in the Southeast and stuff. All those jobs left. They went south. And massive unemployment. The town I live in has a very large empty factory on one side of the town. That factory was there 50-some years, called Bimberg, and they made rayon and stuff. And they made parachutes and material for parachutes in World War II and other things like that. And at the end of the war, they started closing down their operations. And when they restarted it, they shipped their industry out of the country. You know where they sent it? They sent it to Japan. The country had been fighting for 4 years in the Pacific. They shipped American jobs out of this town. They sent them to Japan. That's been going on a long time. And that's really disgusting. Anyway, I want to finish this article on Daniel Penny. What I was trying to get, there was a case named Jordan Williams. He stabbed a man to death. He wasn't even charged. They dismissed the case as self-defense. His victim was black. He was black. Penny was white. The man that he choked out and basically restrained, with the assistance of two other men, one of whom was black, one of whom was Hispanic. They don't talk about on the news too much. There were three people holding that vagrant down, Mr. Neely down, who died as a result of being restrained. The man was on K2 and on who knows how many other drugs. He was a very violent person. Gets off. Very political prosecution. We've got the music coming on. We'll be back in about 7 or 8 minutes.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.